My dear friends in Christ, it is wonderful to be gathered together once again in our Father's house this beautiful day. Hey, we're going to be talking about prayer today, which is absolutely connected to our faith relationship with Jesus. And as we begin our worship service, we always begin with the invocation, right? Which is saying the name of God. And what are we remembering? Our baptism. Excellent. And so today we actually are going to remember our baptism by watching a baby get baptized. And so if you guys would come forward, if the Weems family would come forward at this time with little baby Eleanor. Yes, you too. All right. Just come on up this way. And I'll have you stand on the other side of the baptismal font. Super. All right. Well, today is an extremely amazing and special day, a day that that God is going to be doing something pretty amazing in the life of little Eleanor here. Baptism is an incredible gift. You know, we always wonder, how is it that a little baby can be saved? And God answers that question with this incredible gift of baptism, and he promises that in baptism that we are saved through this gift. Through this gift, we're given the faith by which we can receive the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that Jesus has earned for us on the cross. And today that gift is going to become real, that promise is going to become real for baby Eleanor. So there's a few things that means for you folks, and that is this: Eleanor is your baby, but today she becomes God's baby, which gives you additional responsibilities as you raise her, that you're going to be raising a little child of God, one that Jesus died for, the one that he loves so deeply and so richly, and that he desperately desires to have a relationship with her. It's why he died for her, why he forgave her sins, so that she is going to be able to live her life in the peace and rest of knowing that she is saved, and that when God comes for her, he will take her to live with him, to live in his presence forever. And he wants her to know him. And so your responsibility in raising little Eleanor is that you teach her who she is in Jesus, and you teach her what Jesus has done for her. You teach her how God created this world for her to live in. You teach her all the things that God has done for her. You teach her that she is able to pray to the God of creation and be heard by him, and that he loves her and is listening, that you teach her how to have peace in the most difficult of times because she knows that she is walking with God. Are you willing to do all this? Excellent. And because life is distracting terribly, and sometimes it's hard for parents to be focused on the most important things because there are so many things, we need somebody who will stand beside them and lovingly remind them, hold them accountable, and keep them focused on raising Eleanor in the faith, as well as praying for Eleanor and reminding her and teaching her yourself. Are you willing to do this? Outstanding. With that, can I have the baby? Excellent. How are you, sweetheart? You're pretty chill. We'll see how long that lasts. Eleanor, receive sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Eleanor May Weems, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was amazing. You did great. All right. And you know what? What God has done here is he has put faith in her heart, made it so that she has a faith relationship with God. And to remember this, we gave you a candle. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he came to Jesus and he says, "What, you know, how is it that I can be saved?" And Jesus says, "You have to be born again. And that's what just happened to her. She's received new life. And so because she's received new life, it's kind of her birthday, you know? And so I am giving you a birthday candle that you, in which you remember the day that God kindled faith in her heart. And so as she continues to grow and as you teach her who she is in Christ, I encourage you to remember to take this candle out and to burn it. You can do it on her birthday even. Stick it right in the middle of her birthday cake. She'll love that. But use this to remind her of who she is in Jesus and how she belongs to Jesus. We're also going to give you a banner. Oh, don't cry. It's okay. We're also going to give you a banner that I encourage you to hang someplace where she will see it. And when she asks, as children always do, what's that? What's that for? You can tell her that that's to remind her that she is a princess in God's kingdom. And she also has a baptism certificate. And we also give you a Bible so that you can continue to read to her. My friends, let me introduce to you the youngest child in the family of God. I will give her back to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful baby Eleanor, Lord. I pray that you would continue to guard her and keep her always, Lord. Give her all that she needs, Lord. Continue to bless and encourage her parents and their faith, Lord, so that they can pass their faith on to her. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible love and mercy to even the youngest and littlest, Lord. Thank you for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks.
Please stand as we continue our service. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have claimed us to be your own, that by your Spirit we may have faith in you. And all that you do for us to support this body and life, that you have given us salvation that we do not deserve. And so, Lord, we pray that each day we would follow where your Spirit leads. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
morning. My name is Steve Mangrum, the elder on duty today, the one that forgot the water. That won't happen again. First reading, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen. I kind of laughed there because this week I was really nervous about getting a roof put on, and I just put it all in God's hands. And so what's said here is true. Amen.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from Psalm, the 50th Psalm, verses 7 to 15. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Now, this time I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning, my friends. How are you? It's so good to see you. Come on down, and you can come closer over here if you would like. Or you can stay there, too. Well, I have a question for you. I'm going to come by you. I have a question for you. Do any of you really like to talk a lot? Like, do any of you like to talk so much that sometimes people say, could you stop talking so much? No. Well, that's good. Well, sometimes some of us like to talk all the time. Sometimes maybe some of us talk a lot to ourselves. What if I told you that there was somebody who never gets sick of you talking? Do you know who that is?
Jesus.
That's right. It's God. This is a very exciting next few weeks because at church, we're focusing on a new series on prayer. And prayer is talking to God. So you have to kind of turn off your summer. Who has a summer brain? You've just been having lots of fun. It's been a while since we've been in school. So turn on your school brain for a second. Who here has ever read a book or a story and you're like trying to find something? So maybe you've heard of this. The five W's. Who, what, when, where, and why, if you want to find out some more information. So I thought today we could do the five W's of prayer. Are you up for that? Awesome. So my first question for you, and I have my W's here, is who, can I ask you, who can pray? Who do you think? You can, yeah. Who else? You can? Guess who can pray? What do you think, Phoenix? Yeah. Do you think only adults can pray, or only kids, or only people that live in Eureka? Everyone. So who can pray? Everyone can pray. God loves to hear from his dear children. My next W is when. When can we pray? We can pray at church anytime. Does it need to be a certain time to pray? No. We can pray so anyone can pray anytime. What can we pray about? What? What can we pray about? What do you think? I heard someone out there say it. That's right. Anything. We can pray about anything. Do you think God just loves to hear from you all the time about anything big or small? Yes, he does. He loves it so much. Where can we pray? Do we have to be just at church? No. Where can you be?
Anywhere.
Anywhere you can pray. Why? Why do you think we pray? Why do we pray?
Because,
Why do we pray, Isla? Well, you know what's really amazing while you're thinking of that? Is God invites us to pray. So much so that in the Bible, he even teaches us how. Have you ever heard of our Father who art in heaven, right? We can pray because God says we can. And that's such an amazing gift because, and sometimes what does prayer look like? Sometimes we might fold our hands. Sometimes we might be crying out to God like this. Sometimes we might just be happy and skipping along and it's in our head. Sometimes it's out loud. We can just pray all the time, anywhere, and anyone can do it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing gift that God gives us? We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for others. It's just such a blessing. And so I'm very excited for these next few weeks to focus on prayer. What do you think? So I have a question for you. Should we pray now? Yeah. Does anyone want to help me pray? You want to come up here? Okay, come up here, Liam. Would you like to say a little prayer? And then I'll close. Do you want to say a little prayer? You don't have to. Okay, that's okay. Okay, come here, Zoe. Okay, come here. I'll start. Dear Jesus. That's okay. Why don't you guys, you want to say something?
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for starting us. Dear Jesus, we thank you for all of these amazing friends that we have here. Lord, we thank you so much that we can pray. It is such an amazing gift because, Lord, we pray for all kinds of things. We pray when we're happy. We pray when we're sad. We pray when we're in need or others are in needs for other people. We pray for forgiveness, which you give us so freely on the cross, Lord. We just thank you so much for this beautiful gift, and we ask that you just help us remember that we can talk to you all of the time. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you guys so much.
All right, four-year-old through fourth grade can head to their little worship. And the rest of you, let's open up our Bibles and come before and see what our God has for us today. Sermon scripture reading for today. Psalm chapter 50, verses 7 through 15. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices, concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall, nor of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountain, and the insects in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God and fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Well, today's text is, or today's theme is, what is prayer? And so in careful preparation for this sermon today, I referred to Luther's Small Catechism, and an older version of the catechism actually had that question in the back, and here is the answer. Prayer is talking to God in word and thoughts. Amen. I guess we're done for the day. That's all there is to it. We answered the question, right? Except there might be more to it than that, don't you think? Because just break that word down a little bit, and we're talking to who? Okay, who's he? Yeah, we're talking about God here. And just take for a second to think about exactly what that means. Meditate for a moment on the existence and reality of God. He is the omniscient, which means he knows everything, right? All-powerful. Creator of all things, the source of all life, the source of all things, everything, right? You know, we're building bigger telescopes all the time to see farther out into the universe. And the one thing I can tell you is whatever the latest telescope sees, God made that too, right? And we're also figuring out, you know, getting microscopes that see smaller and smaller things. And when we microscopes, you know, when we get to the point where the stuff we're studying is smaller than light waves, it becomes difficult to see. And so we have then theoretical, mathematical expressions describing the things that exist that are smaller than light. And evermore, we're getting smaller and smaller and more resolution on the tiny. And the one thing I can tell you about all that is God made that too. And we're talking about that God is, he's not just an impersonal creator who made and then let things spin off into space. He created, he made, and then he made these people that he loves so much. And he put these people into the Garden of Eden. And it was beautiful. This relationship between the great and mighty creator and these little people that he made. But let's describe those people a little bit. Bible has a few metaphors. Bible loves metaphors. God loves to explain things in word pictures. And he says, we are like vapor. What does that mean? We're like poof and gone, right? Not very substantial. Can't grab onto it. Can't hold on to it. And the more you try, the more it just dissipates. People are like grass. Here today, gone tomorrow. Is that a little different from God? The self-existent, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing creator of everything. We are small, weak, needy, broken, sinful. And think about what this prayer means. This prayer means we in our smallness and weakness and fallenness get to talk to God. Now that's a really big deal if you think about that, right? I mean, it's sort of like when you get to the point in life where you're like, well, all I can do is pray. It's like all I can do is talk to the all-powerful creator of all the universe who loves me and knows me individually. That's all I got left. Well, okay, sounds like a kind of big deal, right? But the question is this, well, what is the spirit behind this idea of prayer? Because there are some people who know that prayer is talking to God, and they know that God wants them to pray, right? And so they figure, if I pray, I can bend God to my will, right? Because I'm doing God a favor by praying to him. You know what I'm saying? This is something that I'm doing for him. And if I do this for him in just the right way, with just the right heart and just the right spirit, with just the right words, I can get God to do what I want. In fact, I was just, again, preparing for this sermon, I Googled, how do I get God to answer my prayers? And there was a website telling me 7 steps for how to get God to answer a prayer in 24 hours. Now, that is oddly specific. Is this what prayer is? And the text for today I chose because I want you to really drill into your head who God is, right? I mean, here, what is this? I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal in the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills, my favorite line. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why? Because he's God. Does he need us? Does he need our money? Does he need our time? Does he need anything from us? He is self-complete. He is complete in himself. There is nothing that we can do to finish God or improve God. He is already perfect. He's not asking us to pray to him because he needs our prayer. He's asking us to pray to him because he loves us. Now let's go to the very beginning of prayer. It's Adam and Eve walking in the garden, right? And who was walking with them? God. Yeah, because we know this because when God came to Adam and Eve after they had sinned, they said they heard God walking in the garden. And the way that's written, it denotes that this was a frequent activity. This was something that God did all the time. He just kind of came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And do you think they talked while they walked together in the garden? I mean, Adam and Eve knew why God created mosquitoes. They could ask. He was right there. Right? I mean, the thing is they were able to have this amazingly intimate relationship with God right up until Adam and Eve fell into sin, and that relationship was damaged. But right from the beginning, God gave them a promise. And the promise is the one is coming who is going to set all this right. And in that promise, God forged a relationship with his people. And he made the relationship on the basis of that promise. Later on, Abraham is called out of the, another land. And he basically says, I will be your God, you will be my person. I will bless everybody who blesses you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the world will be blessed through you. What was that? That is that promise. The promise of the one who would come. And because of that promise of the one who would come, God forged a relationship with Abraham. And because God forged a relationship with Abraham, by the way, which later in Hebrews we find out what that relationship is called. What's it called? Faith, right? By faith, Abraham believed. This faith that God brought Abraham through the promise of the Savior, right? This faith is like an umbilical cord that connects Abraham to God. And through this umbilical cord of faith, God supplies Abraham with everything that he needs. Think mom and baby, right? That little baby inside the mom, independent and strong, correct? No, utterly dependent. Dependent on the mom for absolutely everything that baby needs to live, right? And it all comes to the baby through the umbilical cord, and then through the umbilical cord, the baby is able to, get rid of all of the waste and problem, the stuff that's not good for the baby, and this is how God supplies that for that baby. Well, faith is our umbilical cord. Through faith, we receive grace. Through faith, we receive forgiveness. Through faith, we receive the Spirit. Through faith, we receive all of these things, right? And that God creates this relationship. And prayer is our living out that relationship with God, that we pray to God because he connected himself to us. He gives us forgiveness. We pray to him thanksgiving and praise. He gives us blessing. We pray thanksgiving and praise to him. That when we are in need, we pray to God and knowing that he is the one who provides for us, right? It is our exercise of the relationship that God made with us. We have a baby who got baptized today, beautiful little Eleanor. And today, that umbilical cord has been connected to her. And for the rest of her life, she gets to grow and learn exactly what it means that she is connected to Jesus in such an intimate and amazing way. Think about that. It's not that we're connected to another person. We're connected to the creator of the universe, the one who knows everything, the one who is all-powerful. Just think about the reality of what God has done through Jesus, that when he made us his children, when he put us in this faith relationship with him, We receive all that we need from him. And we have the command and the privilege to respond to him and respond to this relationship that he has made by talking to him. And in this, he promises to hear us. When the Bible tells us that we have to pray in Jesus' name, this is exactly what it means, that it's because of what Jesus has done for us and the relationship that God has forged with us. It is in that relationship that we pray. That relationship means that we are very aware at all times of our utter dependence on the one who is at the other end of this umbilical cord of faith. That everything that I need will be supplied by him. And the worries of this world become very much less because, you know, if you lose your job, does that seem like a real big problem? Well, yes, it does, until you remember who supplied you that job. Is God out of tricks? Does he have no other way that he can care for you and love you? Do you think God's big enough to overcome the problem that sits in front of you? And even if I don't know the answer right now, can I trust in him? Can I take my problem to him and lay it at his feet and give it to him and trust that the God of all creation, the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful and loves me so much, is going to take my prayer seriously? Do you see how this works? When we talk about what is prayer, prayer is our exercise of the faith that God has created with him. And the question is, well, do we have to pray? Well, if you're going to say it that way, I guess I got to say, yeah, but that's sort of like saying, if I sit down at a gourmet feast and everything that I love is sitting in front of me and I am famished hungry, that somebody would come to me and say, you have to eat. And that you would say, you can't make me. Right? I mean, it's like this. It's like saying, you have the ear of God himself. What are you asking? Do I have to pray? God is telling you to pray because he loves you and he wants this relationship with you. He's telling you that he wants you to pray because you need to talk to him. We are utterly dependent on him. And when we pray, we are exercising the faith that he has given us in giving things over to him, confessing our sins to him, telling him the things that we need and the places that we are deficient and too small and not able to manage in our lives, all the while remembering that in the middle of the prayer, when we are speaking these needs to him, we are confessing also that he is the one that provides every single one of those things. And if we constantly are confessing our smallness and his greatness, but that he loves us and is listening to us, will that not bring us peace? Is prayer not one of the most amazing, needed blessings that God has given us? And so, yes, prayer is talking to God in words and thoughts. And isn't that the most mind-blowing, amazing blessing? Because Jesus died for us, because our sins are covered, because now we are reborn and have a relationship with the Father, because the Spirit has given us faith by which we can trust in him, because we are connected to God, we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your incredible love. Thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to come to you and to just lay our burdens at your feet, that we are able to come to you and lay our sin at your feet, that we are able to come to you and pray for the needs of others, that we are able to come to you, Lord, and receive the wisdom and strength that we are in such desperate need of, Lord, that this incredible gift of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into this relationship with you, Lord, whereby we are able to speak to you and have you hear us. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen.
It's like it was yesterday. I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. And now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with Luther's explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite those people forward who are going to the National Youth Gathering. So we have three youth who are going, Amanda Brevard, Emily Hartman, and Annie Lockwood. We have two of them coming up. And we have for our adults, Jennifer Brevard and Lisa Lockwood. And the National Youth Gathering is one of my favorite things that happens every 3 years that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod puts on from their youth department. And you'll have tens of thousands of youth gathered together, plus adults and volunteers and things. And so just to see, you know, half of the Superdome filled with people who are all there first and foremost to give praise to their God, to give praise and glory to Jesus, and to give thanks for all that he's done is astounding. Just, you know, again, take what we have here and multiply it by 100. Envision worshiping in that setting, and it is astounding. And that's not even to mention the wonderful breakout sessions where they get to hear different things that matter to what's going on in their lives. It's a wonderful opportunity. And so we rejoice this day that we have some youth and adults who are going. And so with this, then, I just want to say a prayer for you guys as you go to the National Youth Gathering, leaving on Friday. And so everyone, I ask you, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these our people who are going to the National Youth Gathering. I pray that you would bless their journey down to New Orleans. I pray that as they are there, that they would hear your words to them through the breakout sessions, through the mass events, through everything in the gathering, that they would grow in their trust of you, and grow in the knowledge of you, and rejoice in who it is that you are, what you have done for them. Lord, I just pray that you would also grow them in their relationships with each other. Help them to know each other better and to rejoice in who each other are and be even better friends through this process. Pray that you'd grant them safe travels back here and to share what they have learned with those who are here. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. But everyone stands, we continue with our prayers of the day. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you any time, any place, anything on our hearts, our minds, we can talk to you with words and with thoughts. I thank you that you do not hinder or oppress such things, but that you invite us to come to you as our dear Father, that you listen to every word, no matter what stresses we might be sharing with you, the joys and excitements we were sharing you, prattling on, you listen to every single word with delight because you love us and you desire a relationship with us. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray, to come to you in all times, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, when we eat our meals, as we're driving in the car, as we're working, as we're at school, as we're talking and hanging out with friends, as we're watching TV, at all times, encourage us to come to you with our thoughts and our words. Lord, as well this day, we give thanks for Kevin Ross having a successful heart surgery. We thank you that he's recovering well and pray that you continue to be with him in that process of recovery. Be with those who are giving him support as well and caring for him in this time as he is restored fully to full strength. And Lord, we thank you for a successful surgery for Mark Wheeler. We pray that you continue to grant him healing and recovery and give him patience as he's also awaiting some tests. And Lord, in this life, there's so many things that we just don't understand. And in those times of confusion, we also turn to you, asking you for wisdom and for mercy and love. So, Lord, in that vein, we pray for all those who have lost loved ones due to floods. We pray that you give them comfort in this time of sorrow. Help them to know that there is a tomorrow and a next day, and that you do, in fact, love all of your creation. All these things we pray in your Son's holy, precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Experience the glory of your goodness. Stop.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve in the true faith to life everlasting, depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. To dismiss the children to Sunday school who are going to Sunday school at this time. A couple quick announcements. One, we have a high school senior send-off that will be celebrating the class of 2025 on Sunday, August 3rd during the worship service. And so we're asking for seniors to share some information as part of that presentation that we're going to have. And so for more information on that, you can check the bulletin for details. As well, we're looking for people to help with childcare for MomCo, that was formerly MOPS, if you're more familiar with that acronym. But we're looking for help 2 times a month. And so if that's something where you feel like, yeah, I can help out with that, that sounds good, I invite you to please talk to our DCE, Lauren Bates, for more information on that. It would really help them out. Lastly, we're starting a new Bible study series. I'm actually going to invite Pastor Bob up because I don't remember exactly what it is, but he's going to be teaching, I think, a 6-week series. What? We're resting? What we're having Bible study is on rest. Okay, got it. So anyway, but if you feel like, you know, I think I could learn more about this rest thing, this Sabbath thing. I'd encourage you to please stick around. Starting at around 11 o'clock, we're going to be reflecting upon rest and God's gift of rest. So please join us. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining us for our worship service today. I pray you have a blessed week. Go in God's peace. Amen.